If you don't use the cart return, you have no one to blame but yourself when Bobby Carpenter comes for you. Carpenter and Rothman.
Carpenter and Rothman, Anthony Rothman, Bobby Carpenter. We welcome aboard Ross Dellinger, who covers college football for Sports Illustrated. He's on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fangist Hotline. Ross, welcome back. How you been?
Good, guys. How are y'all?
Pretty good. All right, you got to we got to pin you down right away, and we won't. This won't cost you anything. Joe Burrow versus Ohio State. It appears to be on a collision course. Would you sign up for that right now? If I pinned you down to predicting a national title game this year.
Man, in like 12 days, I'll know a little more on that. You know, I want to see LSU and Joe Burrow go against Alabama, because we saw LSU and Joe Burrow go against Auburn and struggle a little bit, you know? And so I want to know at Alabama what they'll do, you know, and that for me will tell me a lot. You know, if the LSU Alabama game was in Tiger Stadium in Baton Rouge, I think I'd feel comfortable probably saying that with you guys, saying that was the collision course in the playoffs. But I'm not quite sure I can say that now. You know, I just don't feel as confident about it until I see them, win at Alabama. I mean, they've lost now 8 straight games to Alabama. Mm-hmm. So maybe this is the year. But I'd rather wait for that one.
You know, Ross, what do you make of Alabama this year? I mean, they're a little bit different than they've been in the past. They've been throwing it a lot more. They've got elite receivers. Defensively, they got beat up right down the middle of their defense early on, and they've been winning games. Do they feel as dominant to you as they have in the past, or is there something that could be missing there that could make them a little more vulnerable?
I think, you know, not only has Alabama a lot different than they've been in the past, but obviously LSU is much different too. We're seeing two programs that have pretty much evolved into, the modern college football team that we see kind of everywhere now, with a defense that's on the field for too long and gets maybe worn down, has some holes, and an offense that scores like crazy and passes the ball like crazy and goes up tempo and all that. It's interesting that they now going to collide, you know, and there are some holes for Alabama's defense that we're not normally seeing. And I don't think that's only because of their offense and how much they score and how quick they do it. But, you know, they're playing, I think, three or four true freshmen are starting on that team. They've had a couple of season-ending injuries, a couple in camp, I think, before the season even started. So, you know, I think that's a lot of it, but you're right. These are two completely different teams we're going to see. You know, they both met as number one, number two in 2011. It was 9-6. You know, this one could be 49-46.
Ross, do you feel like Chase Young can get some real Heisman run this year, or do you feel like it's just going to be kind of an accessory story? Then while it's fun to talk about and you'll get a handful of votes and you'll get some people maybe here that cover Ohio State that have a vote voting for Chase Young, do you think he's got any kind of shot like Ndamukong Suh had back in the day? Or do you think he'd have to shatter every sack record possible and almost be a one-man wrecking crew against Penn State and Wisconsin to really get a chance to win it? I mean, I'm sorry, Penn State and Michigan.
Yeah, I just think that in this day and age with offensive football, that it's going to be tough ever again to see a defensive player win it, you know, win the Heisman. I think it's only happened a handful of times, and that player's going both ways, I believe, right? I mean, mm-hmm. So you just don't have it very often in general. And now with offensive football and the numbers these quarterbacks are putting up, it'd almost be hard for me to see, you know, a non-quarterback win it in the next at least few years of this era of football that we're in. So it's not just a defensive player, you know, having a long shot. I think running backs, you know, now have a long shot just because of the quarterback position and the spread offense and in the numbers that they're putting up. You know, as for Chase specifically in this year, I added him into my top five after that game against Wisconsin. It was incredibly incredibly impressive. And when a defensive player impacts a game, so obviously, that's when you start thinking about him for Heisman, when he impacts several games, you know, and especially a big one like that. And he clearly did. I put him at number four right now, but it probably is just going to be one of those things where he might get an invitation, you know, get a few votes. But seeing him or honestly anybody else that's not a quarterback win it would be a surprise.
Talking with Ross Dellinger, covering college football for Sports Illustrated on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. And Ross, you know, there's big upset over the weekend. You see OU falling to Kansas State. I mean, does that say more about OU and where they're at? Is it more just indicative of how crazy college football is? And then what does that kind of do to the rest of the college football playoff picture?
I think it's a little bit of everything. You know, OU had progressed defensively from the team we saw struggle the last few years on defense. We thought they had progressed to a point where they could really compete, you know, if in the college football playoff and not just get there. But we saw them kind of revert back to the old OU defense a little bit. And we saw an offense have some turnovers too. So all that played a part. Obviously, you know, college football is college football and it's crazy and madness. And these kids are really young and it's tough to go out every single week and win. And as far as what it does to the playoff race, you know, the benefactors, there's two probably biggest benefactors here. You know, number one is a one-loss Pac-12 champion, you know, Oregon or a Utah potentially having a better shot now. And number two, it's the loser out of LSU, Alabama, if they go on to win the rest of their games. It's an 11-1 non-SEC champion now. Those two teams, a 12-1 Pac-12 champion, either Oregon or Utah, specifically Oregon. Utah's resume would be tougher to match up probably. And then the LSU, the 11-1 LSU or Alabama. Those teams now have a legitimate shot to get in the field over a potential 11-12-1 Big 12 Oklahoma, you know, Oklahoma, a Big 12 champion Oklahoma. So that's kind of what it does. It kind of cracks the doors for those guys.
Oh, very much so. And, you know, once it's weird, that Oklahoma loss is just, I don't know. I mean, I put it in the category of, well, maybe the Big 12 and the defensively, they're soft again as usual, but they hadn't been this year. I thought they were kind of riding the ship there a little bit, but I think you bring in the right equation. Like Florida and Georgia are going to play each other this weekend. So that's obviously huge. If LSU were to lose and Bama goes to the SEC title game and loses to a Florida or Georgia, that winner has to get in. And then Bama would have the tiebreaker over LSU in a committee room because they will have beaten them head-to-head by getting to the title game. And then you start wondering at that point, if LSU's only loss is on the road to number one and they're on the outside looking in, that's a tough break, man. That is a tough break, right?
Yeah, and the big question would be there is how did that game go, you know, in Tuscaloosa? So did it go 41-20 Alabama, or did it go, you know, 35-31 Alabama? You know, how did they win that game? How did LSU look in that game? I think is going to be a big part of determining that. But you're right, you know, we could have a situation, I believe it was 2017, where – Alabama lost to Auburn in the regular season, and then Auburn lost the championship game to Georgia. So Georgia got in, the winner of the championship game got in, and then they took Alabama. So Alabama would basically be in LSU's place, you know. So I could totally see that happening, and that's where a one-loss Oregon and one-loss Oklahoma, uh-huh. Those three potentially would be comparable. And if you look at schedules and things, boy, it'd be tough for the committee. If it's a close game in Tuscaloosa, man, it would be tough for the committee to keep out LSU among those three, you know. But are you going to leave out again for the second time in 3 years? Are you going to leave out two Power 5 champions? That's a good way to get the playoff expanded.
Yes. Think about the SEC champ if it is Florida. You know, getting in and then taking Bama too, and then Florida goes having lost head-to-head against LSU, that they would go in ahead of them. Like,
if it's Florida, and they go 11-1 or 12-1, win the SEC championship by beating Alabama, they're obviously definitely in, and that just helps LSU at that point. At that point, I would imagine you've got to put in LSU.
Bama.
Florida, yeah, right.
Would have the head-to-head over LSU, though.
Right, true. If that game's close, though, on the road in Tuscaloosa, and that game we saw Florida and LSU wasn't that close, certainly not about midway through the third quarter, they got some separation there. But if that would help LSU's resume incredibly. You know, if Florida goes on to do that. However, I just don't see Florida doing that. We could talk about it for a while, but
no doubt.
It would be hard to see the Gators doing that.
All right, Ross, great job, buddy. We really appreciate your insight. We'll have you back soon. Thank you.
All right, y'all. Thanks.